Baseball insider Andy Carboni is joining us here. Andy, welcome.
Oh, hello, Bill, and happy to be back once again. We're getting closer and closer to the biggest day of the baseball season this time of year.
Yeah, opening day for the Red Sox, not that far off. And Andy, Red Sox fall unusually hard last night against the Twins.
Yes, it was a big thud. The Red Sox have now dropped three straight spring training games. Oh, no, at JetBlue Park. They were blown up by the Twins 11-0. Tanner Houck roughed up in this one, 8 runs in 4 2/3 innings of work. He gave up 3 home runs this afternoon. The Sox look to get back to the win column. They head to Bradenton to take on the Pirates at 105. You can watch the game on NESN 360 or listen to it on WEEI AM 850. As you mentioned, opening day a week from today at Fenway as the Red Sox host the Orioles. Corey Kluber will be on the mound for the Sox.
How do the folks get NESN 360, Andy?
Well, it's a subscription situation. So you have to go on their website and register for it. I'm not sure the exact price per month for NESN 360, so it's a you can watch it on your computer or on your phone with an app type of thing. So, you know, more of these streaming services are out there and costing people more money to watch what they want to watch.
All right, there you go. Or just go down to Florida like some folks do. All right, so, Andy, what do we got here? What's the latest on Chris Sale? He pitched this week.
Yeah, he certainly did on Tuesday, and he suffered his first loss of the spring, giving up 6 runs in 5 innings of work. The Orioles beat the Red Sox 6-2 over in Sarasota. So Sale makes his final start of the spring on Sunday as he'll take on the Twins of Fort Myers. Then he will start the second game of the season on Saturday, April 1st at Fenway versus the Orioles.
Well, he got a lot of innings in. He gave up runs, but that's a win for him. As I was, not to drop names, but as I was talking with Mike Lynch yesterday about that, I mean, at least he got some innings.
Yeah, he's gotten plenty of innings and no reports of any injuries of any kind, so I guess that's a good thing as we head into the season opener. So let's hope he gets through Sunday's outing with no major problems, and we'll be ready and raring to go for the start of the season.
All right, and any other Sox player updates for us?
Yeah, an injury note, left-handed reliever Julie Rodriguez is supposed to be the top left-handed reliever on the team. He's going to start the season on the injured list with a grade 2 oblique strain.
Well, I know our listeners that you know, suffered through last night's Red Sox loss must be are looking for a win, and will they find it today on Red Sox Classics?
Well, they certainly will, because you can't watch the game this afternoon in Bradenton on NESN if you don't have that streaming service. So you can just head over to NESN Plus. It will not cost you any more, and you'll get a W. This week it's the best home openers. First pitch at 3. Today it's the home opener from April 8th of 2011. Dustin Pedroia goes 2-for-5, a home run, 3 RBIs, leading the Red Sox to a 9-6 win over the Yankees at Fenway.
All right, PD Thursday. All right, so let's go. Let's take a look at Major League Baseball news notes. You always have some great stuff for us from for those of us that can't follow Major League Baseball detail by detail throughout the week. But what can you share with us from this past week?
Well, some clarifications through Major League Baseball's pitch clock being made. The league issued a memo to teams yesterday which addressed all our issues, including malfunctions with PitchCom, as well as new standards for bat boys and bat girls. However, the most significant change happened with video review on infield shift violations. The league says teams are only allowed to challenge if a player was out of position if the ball was actually hit to them. This means clubs won't be able to challenge a play in hopes that one of the four infielders were in a restricted area. Commissioner Rob Manfred says more tweaks to the pitch clock and other rules could be made once the regular season starts. Bill, I'll tell you, this is getting too confusing for me as to what's going on with all these new changes, but it's the new world of baseball, that's for sure.
You know, I wasn't in favor of the banning on shifts. I just think that's part of strategy. Maybe I'm misguided here, but now this seems like it's doing the opposite of shortening the game. It will lengthen the game with this stuff, right?
It potentially could with these video reviews on these certain things. Obviously, that could become a factor, but you know, we'll have to see how it all plays out. Obviously, spring training games have been shortened quite a bit than the usual games, so we'll see if that'll even continue once the regular season starts. So a lot to be determined, that's for sure, with these new rules and everyone trying to get used to them.
I wonder if Abner Doubleday ever thought about possible video reviews and challenges to infield shifts back many years ago. Yeah, maybe not.
I know the answer to that one, Bill. We'll move along.
Okay. All right. Major League Baseball news continues.
Well, we'll wrap up the World Baseball Classic. If you did pay attention, Japan claimed its first WBC title since 2009, defeating the United States 3-2 at Lone Depot Park in Miami back on Tuesday night. For Japan, it was their third WBC title and the fifth ever Classic. Shohei Ohtani struck out Angels teammate Mike Trout to end the game. The sixth WBC scheduled to be played in 2026. The Red Sox, Masataka Yoshida, and Yu Chang were named to the All-World Baseball Classic team.
Well, that was a real bright spot for the Red Sox, wasn't it? These guys' performances?
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at that as a good thing. Hopefully it'll roll over into the season. And as for Yu Chang, I mean, he's more of a backup infielder-type player, so you won't see him much if he is on the starting roster when the season gets underway. But obviously Yoshida was the big free agent signing from Japan over the offseason. He's expected to be your opening day left fielder at Fenway, so we'll have to see how that all plays out and see if it carries on over to the regular season.
Got it. Okay. I know you have a few more notes for us.
Well, always an issue with the WBC. Teams are always worried about their top players getting injured, and unfortunately there were a couple injuries late in the WBC to a couple key players. Mets closer Edwin Diaz could be probably out for the season with a knee injury. The team announced that Diaz underwent successful repair of the patella tendon in his right knee last Thursday. Diaz was injured while celebrating a win while pitching for his native Puerto Rico during the World Baseball Classic. It's not clear how he was injured while celebrating, but he was seen limping off the field before getting into a wheelchair. Diaz signed a 5-year, $102 million contract extension with the Mets back in December. Then Astros all-star second baseman Jose Altuve, while playing for Team Venezuela, fractured his thumb after being hit by a pitch against Team USA on Saturday night. Altuve has had surgery, and he will not resume baseball activities for at least 2 months.
All right, and so you have, we were talking about streaming services, but you have one more note on that kind of impact on baseball, right?
Absolutely, Bill. You need to open your wallet once again. If you want to watch Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus, you're going to need that membership. Last year, Apple began broadcasting one or two games every Friday. However, users were able to create an account for free to watch their favorite teams. And now, you have to pay over $7 a month if you want to watch MLB games on Friday nights on Apple's platform. So if you want to subscribe to Nesson 360 and then Apple Plus and this, that, and the other thing. So, they're always looking for your last dollar, Bill, and this is how they're going to try to get it.
And they're getting close, but it's probably cheaper than going to the ballpark. That's for sure.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way, depending where you live. Obviously, going to Fenway is the most expensive stadium in the league to go to, so you could say that for around here, that's for sure.
Hey, Andy, final question to you would be, what do the Red Sox need to do between now and next week for opening day, do you think?
Well, obviously, I think they need to get their players back from the WBC, get them on the field, and get them some more reps as they get ready for the regular season to start. And just, obviously, the key thing is to avoid any major injuries between now and opening day. Start the season healthy with everyone in the lineup and see how it all plays out. That's the number one thing, I would say.
And what are you forecasting for weather at Fenway on the 30th?
Well, I don't play the role of a weatherman on TV or the radio, but from what I'm seeing, it's expected to be a cool day at Fenway to start things off. In the 40s is what I'm seeing so far for next Thursday. So if you are headed over to Fenway, bundle up, as they say.
I actually did not expect that as an informed answer from you on that as I got. I'm impressed. Very good. Thank you, Andy.
I do what I can to help everyone out there in Red Sox Nation.
Oh, man, this guy is dialed. You can tell he's dialed in, folks. Man, he knew the weather for Fenway from a week out here. All right.
I think people want me to dial out soon.
Oh, my gosh. This guy's Alex Cora. He could be a manager, this guy, Andy Carboni. All right, Andy, we'll let you go, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, we'll chat probably on opening day. Looking forward to it.
You got it. Play ball. That's baseball insider Andy Carboni. I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.